This is a conversation with Sam Horton as a journal entry for his Level 2 reading log. Sam, can you tell me about the text that you've been reading? First of all, just what it is, and then I'll ask more questions.
I've been using a guide to digital photography, and I've been focusing on the chapter colour management.
Cool. What stimulated you to want to read something like this?
I noticed at school that the printers print off a lot darker than what's actually on the computer screen, and that annoyed me because I've been doing photography, so I wanted to know why that's happening and how to fix it.
And so you've got a non-fiction text which explains all of that in quite a lot of detail, and I'm quite keen to sort of talk through the things you've learned. So first of all, have you solved the initial problem of the printers printing things differently to how they appear on the screen?
Well, I understand how why it happens, but I haven't officially done anything about it at school.
Yep.
But at home I've tried to, but it's very hard if you don't have the proper tools.
Yeah. So tell me first of all about what you now know about why it happens.
Well, every a camera, a screen and a printer deal with colour differently. They all have a different profile for every colour. So usually you try to get the printer and the screen to have the same profiles, and there's two different profiles. There's an Adobe profile and then then there's an sRGB file. That sRGB is usually the more popular one, and then the Adobe is more Windows.
Yeah. So what are those profiles doing? What are they describing?
That's they see on the picture the colour, and then they send it through and display it on the screen.
Right.
But then sometimes the code, it could be a light blue on the screen, but then the same code could mean a dark blue on the printer.
Right.
So you want to try and change it so they're all the same.
Yeah.
And usually there's software or the screen, something that attaches to the screen that reads it.
Yeah.
And then we'll copy it, and you can.
So tell me more about that. So you've identified the problem from your reading. You've identified that the devices handle colours differently.
Yeah.
And have different colour profiles. How does it say that you can resolve that? What methods are available for you to approach that problem?
Well, there's the, what do you call them, sensors that attach to screens.
What do they do?
They usually just tweak it. On some of the new laptops, they have this night mode that darkens the screen, but then they'll take that away so it doesn't affect the way it looks.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, I haven't done a lot on printers, but then cameras are quite good. If it looks good on the camera, then you want to make it look good on the screen. You don't want to change the camera.
So the first thing is obviously, one of the things that I know is a challenging aspect of digital photography, and that's the issue of the white point.
Yeah.
And what colour white is in any given photograph
is
going to be different depending on the lighting.
Yeah.
And then on the screen, they tend to have a very set white point, which would have to be adapted, wouldn't it, for each photograph, depending on the circumstances of it. So how do you handle that?
If you shoot in RAW or JPEG you can you can't access the colour profiles. It's locked. And if you want to change it, it just kind of adds a layer over top of the photo. But then with RAW, it's all open, and you can go in and actually change the photo, not just put a layer over top of it.
Right.
So it's not like a filter, you're actually changing the colour profiles in the photo.
Right. And the advantage of that is, tell me, do you know what the advantage of doing that is?
It's a lot clearer. You don't get the little pixels and all that around it. It doesn't blur it.
Yeah. JPEG's a compression algorithm, isn't it? So that it actually doesn't actually contain all of the data about the photograph in the first place.
Yeah, well, when you put the raw photo onto the Lightroom or something, it actually says what lens you used, what camera you used.
Yeah. And then does that mean that the software can adapt its characteristics to the specific lens and camera?
Yeah.
Because they already have preset knowledge of those things. Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
And that gets it into the computer in a way where you're dealing with something that's as close as possible to the original.
Yeah.
In the process of interacting with the printers, you've said that you can use a sensor to calibrate your screen.
Yeah.
What else can you do? Are there other ways of doing it? What if you don't have a sensor?
You can do it manually, but then you have to know what you're doing quite well. You have to know.
What do you have to know?
The individual names.
Right.
So it's like that kind of stuff, and then there's.
So what? Tell me what you have to know. The things that you have to be able to do effectively to be able to calibrate your screen without a sensor.
I don't actually know. I didn't really research that.
And then you said you experimented a bit at home. How did that experimentation go?
So I just got like a normal photo off the internet, saw it on my computer screen, and then printed it off, and then put it up to my computer screen and see if it looked the same.
Right.
And it was a lot darker.
And that's actually a calibration process too,
yeah.
Isn't it, actually?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what did you do once that happened?
Well, my printer came with like an app
yep.
on the laptop, so I could go onto that and then change like brightness and a lot of other things.
Of the printer?
Yeah, on the printer.
Right. So what you were trying to do there is to adjust the settings of the printer to match the screen,
yeah.
not the other way around.
Yeah.
Right.
Which
could
you do
it the other way around?
Yeah, you can.
So you could import, say, a profile of the printer as
yeah.
a colour profile for your screen?
Yeah, well, you could even scan a photo in from the printer and then it will pop up on the screen.
Right.
And have the two beside it.
Yeah, right.
And then
yeah.
see if it...
Which, but then of course you've got the issue of how accurate the scanner is.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So
but then you can also change how the scanner picks up the colours as well. So.
Mm. So with all of what you've learnt from this, has it had an effect on your photography?
Yeah, I don't print at school anymore.
Right.
Because I've got the one at home pretty dialed. So I just use that.
So now you've sort of got that appreciation of the importance of the calibration of the devices
yeah.
you're working with, properly calibrated
yeah.
devices.
And I make sure if I print, have to print at school, I go onto Lightroom or something and I like brighten the picture
yeah.
quite a lot.
Knowing that that's going to...
Yeah, but it's you never really get it perfect because you don't know how much to brighten it.
Mm. Do you find that it makes any difference when you're taking photographs, even though that's a separate part of the process?
It does, because it means I'm quite confident with the, like, if it looks that good on the camera, it'll look that good when I print it now.
So does that mean that you've learned something about the importance of the original
yeah.
photograph? What is important about it? Like, what are the things that matter in order to make this process work well for you, what matters when you take your original photograph?
Well, if it's too light on the camera, then you have, like, it'll definitely be too light on the computer.
Right.
But then, yeah, I don't know. Some students, like some of the people at school, they shoot and they think it's too bright and like, oh, they'll just dim it down on the computer.
Mm.
But it's not, it doesn't look as good.
So what's the problem if it's overexposed on the camera? When you get it into the computer, what problems does that introduce? Why does it not look as good? Even
It'll
if you
just
adjust
lower
it.
The quality of the photo when you adjust it.
Right.
And
right.
then, yeah, you won't get as much details.
Yeah. Cool. And now that you've learned this, and it's improved your management of your photography process, what are you going to do next? Will you read more? Or
yeah, I'm going to read another chapter and probably look at how to use Lightroom properly.
Right.
Like
so
create what my own filters and
yeah,
learn how to adjust light without over-adjusting it. And
yeah. And that will allow you to the sort of outcome that you're looking for. Do you know what you're trying to achieve in the end?
Yeah, well, in photography, I'm studying like reflection and like vibrant colours and stuff, like landscape. And I don't want to use Lightroom too much, which is annoying because you can make it look really fake through Lightroom. But I want to learn how to like evenly do the thing without like making the green look. Like a fluoro green.
Yeah.
And then the water just looked like a dark blue.
Yeah. So does that mean that you're looking to try and create original photographs that capture that as much as you
yeah.
can and then use Lightroom simply to clean it up?
Yeah.
Is that right? Rather
yeah.
than using Lightroom to create those effects.
Yeah, because the cameras that capture like extremely vibrant colours tend to be quite expensive.
Yeah.
So Yeah, and if you use Lightroom, you can pretty much make it look like an expensive camera photo, but
again,
but yeah,
there's something
through
lost,
like a cheaper, yeah, yeah, but yeah, it's not as, if you compare an expensive one with a cheap camera photo, you can see the details, like
right,
the difference like crazy. But
right.
Yeah.
Awesome. Is there anything else you'd like to explain about what you've read or are planning to read?
No, I think I got it all.
Great. Thanks very much.
Awesome. Thank you.